Chapter 8. Here we have a wonderful example of a listening church. This is God's word. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law to Moses, the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. Beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped their Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, the Levites, helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the meaning, so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go on your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who's got nothing ready, for this day is holy to the Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be quiet, for this day is holy, do not be grieved. And all the people went on their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. On the second day, the heads of fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and the Levites, came together to Ezra the scribe, in order to study the words of the law. And they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gates, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths, for from the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. And there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. Amen. Well, for a couple of weeks now in our morning services, we've been thinking about the subject, what is the Reformed Presbyterian Church? Well, we've been thinking about this church and the wider denomination to which most of us belong. What does it all stand for? What's at the heart of our life and witness? What's important to us as a church? What do we have to offer to the world? So far, we've considered two characteristics that we should be seeing in the RP church. It should be a Christ-focusing church, and it should be a praying church. Christ-focusing and praying. Really, those things should be true of any true church of the Lord Jesus. But especially for our purposes in this series, the Reformed Presbyterian Church. Now, this morning, we come to our third study. What is the RP Church? A listening church. A listening church. I trust it's quite evident to you this morning that as a church, we do believe in being a listening church. It's no accident that at the center of every Reformed place of worship, there's almost always a wooden desk with a book on it, the Bible. It's at the very center of our buildings, not an altar, not a great stained glass window, but the Bible, the Scriptures. And that, of course, is deliberate. It's a symbol of what we consider central to church life, listening to the Bible being preached. And that's why in the RP Church, the preaching of God's Word is at the center. It's at the heart of every service of worship. It's no accident that we spend most of our time on the sermon. That's not tradition. It's not because ministers like the sound of their own voice, believe me. It's because as a church, we want to be a listening church. We believe in being a listening church. Now you might say to yourself, well, surely this is true of lots of churches. We praise God, it is true of lots of churches. You might say, it should be true of every church. Surely everyone believes in preaching. Surely every church has a sermon. Well, those things, sadly, are becoming less true in some churches. The world in which we live is increasingly a visual world, an impatient world, a world of sound bites and images, a world that seeks to constantly entertain. It's also a world that dislikes anything authoritative. It's a world that favors sharing and would prefer ministers to say, let me share with you some interesting insights that you might like to think about. It's not a world which welcomes the authoritative preaching of truth. And we have to confess that as those who live in this world, we've been affected by it. And our abilities to reason and think things through, I don't know if it's the same as previous generations. Our attention spans have become so limited that many of us have become mentally lazy. We prefer to avoid any effort when it comes to sustained thinking. And on top of those factors, a visual-focused, impatient world and anti-authoritarian culture and a short attention span society, on top of all of that, we have to say too that in the church, sadly, there is a great deal of pathetically poor preaching. In the 1800s, J.C. Ryle said this. He complained about the state of preaching in his day. He said, a vast quantity of modern preaching is so foggy and hazy and dim and indistinct and hesitating and timid and cautious and so fenced with doubts that the preacher doesn't seem to know what he believes himself. That was 200 years ago, and it's quite up to date today. Sadly, much preaching today is tedious and lifeless and so unrelated to daily life that people get sick of it, and they reject the thing because it's being badly done. And there are many churches today asking questions like, do we really need to bother with preaching? Is a sermon really necessary? Is it not an outdated form of communication today? Why not replace it with drama? Or why not show a Christian movie instead and maybe make comments about it? Why not take the time that we normally spend on the preaching and devote it to entertaining music, maybe an exciting testimony, a discussion panel at the front? Surely that would be good. Surely those things would be more appealing. They would be more effective today in our culture. And what we're seeing, friends, in many churches and many denominations is a move away from the centrality of the word preached. A move away from that towards entertainment-centered, experience-centered worship. Now, by God's grace, this is an area in which the trend of the RP church is by and large healthy and sound. Over the years, we have sought to keep preaching central. We still keep preaching central. As a denomination, our preachers receive thorough training in preparing sermons. Our churches are very generous towards their ministers and their preachers, enabling them to study full-time during the week, not expecting their ministers to be running and involved with everything in the church. As a denomination, we have a great priority when it comes to preaching. But we mustn't take that for granted. And we mustn't simply assume that everyone in the church is convinced of this. And we mustn't think the devil is happy with this. If anything, he will want to divert us from the Bible at all costs. So this morning, I want to set before you the case for being a listening church. And again, as with last week, I don't have a specific passage that I'm focusing on, but if you have your Bibles with you, which I know you do, I'll be referring to plenty of verses and passages throughout. So we want to begin by thinking of reasons for being a listening church. Why should we be a listening church? Why should we be a listening church? I could give so many reasons from the Bible this morning. Let me give you just three reasons why we should be a listening church. For one, the early church was a listening church. The early church was a listening church. We thought about that last week when we were thinking about being a praying church. We looked at the early church. Here again, it's no bad thing for us to be turning again to the early church. We would do well to follow and imitate the general pattern and example of the early church. It's quite clear from the book of Acts. They were very much a listening church. Acts 2:42. Something of a key text, really, in this whole regard. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to listening. They were so eager to listen and learn. In Acts 6, the church leaders were finding themselves distracted with other duties and responsibilities. And so they set up, they elect what we call deacons today, so that the apostles would be able to give their attention to praying and ministry of the word. There was this emphasis on the word being taught. And there's almost 20 sermons in the book of Acts showing us there was this great emphasis. The apostles were committed to teaching. The early church was committed to listening. So friends, if the early church was a listening church, really, we should be a listening church. A second reason to be a listening church is that God speaks to a listening church. God speaks to a listening church. We were thinking about that with the boys and girls, weren't we? We're to be a listening church because when a preacher teaches the Bible accurately, faithfully, prayerfully, it's not really the preacher who's speaking, but God Himself is speaking. God Himself is speaking. Yes, God speaks to us individually when we're at home studying the Bible, but there's something about the preaching of the word. And it's as if God himself is speaking to us through his servants. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul thanks God that when the Thessalonians heard the good news of Jesus, Paul writes, they accepted it not as the word of men, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God. So the words, while they came through human preachers, the Thessalonians recognized them as being the actual words of God. And it's not just apostles like Paul who speak like that. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, 1 Peter 4, verse 11, he says, if anyone speaks, and the context is Bible teaching in church, if anyone speaks, they do so as one who speaks the very words of God. The very words of God. So don't think of sermons as really the minister sharing with us a little insight or two. Don't think of them as merely a time to learn a little bit more about the Bible or just to get some encouragement to live a better Christian life. God himself is speaking. Any time the Bible is faithfully opened up, and that's essential for this, the Bible to be faithfully opened up, we're to listen to the preacher's voice as if listening to God himself. God speaks to a listening church. And then a third reason to listen is that God works in a listening church. God works in a listening church. Some of the most powerful and miraculous things happen through preaching. Through preaching. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. To save those who believe. It's not necessarily meaning God saves during the preaching of a sermon. Sometimes he does that. But Paul writes, through the preaching. So the word of God, when it's preached, it brings life and light to men and women's souls. The salvation may not happen there and then. It sometimes does, not always. But always the preaching is crucial. Romans 10, 14. How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? So we shouldn't be slow to invite unbelievers with us to church. We shouldn't be slow to invite those that we care about outside of the Lord Jesus to come to a special event we're having. We should never think the sermons will be pointless to them or irrelevant to them, because time and time again, God saves through preaching. Not only does he save through preaching, but he then strengthens through preaching as well. It's all part of his great working. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So we should be a listening church, because one of the best ways God works, one of the chief ways God works, is through preaching. And throughout history, all the greatest movements of God have been as a result of spirit-filled preaching and enthusiastic listening. Spirit-filled preaching and enthusiastic listening. God works in a listening church. So, why should we be a listening church? Secondly, how should we be a listening church? How can we be better at being a listening church? How can we get as much out of listening as possible? And again, three things to point out here that are helpful to us in being a listening church. For one, be here as much as possible. Be here as much as possible. The measure of our appetite for listening is really an evidence of our spiritual life and our spiritual health. If a person is alive spiritually, surely they'll want to come and hear what their Father in heaven is saying to them. And surely that's a sign of spiritual health. If there's a hunger, if there's an appetite to learn and to listen. On the other hand, if there's no real desire to listen, if there's no appetite to hear and to listen to the voice of the Lord, it's like someone being off their food, isn't it? And something's wrong in that case. Something's dreadfully wrong if there's no appetite. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Here in this church, there's provided for you the opportunity to come twice a week, morning and evening, every Lord's Day, to listen together with your family in Christ. Do you want to be growing and maturing as a Christian? Do you want to hear the voice of the Lord? Well, take every opportunity you can to be gathering with the listening church. Be here as much as possible. Secondly, be ready to listen. Be ready to listen. In many ways, the battle for blessing on the Lord's Day, it's won or lost on the Saturday night, isn't it? It's won or lost on the Saturday night. Richard Baxter, a wonderful Puritan writer, said this: "Go seasonably to bed that you may not be sleepy on the Lord's Day." Isn't that good? Go seasonably to bed that you may not be sleepy on the Lord's Day. Just think of a little child getting so exhausted, and sometimes you've seen that happen. They're in their high chair and they're being fed their dinner, but they're falling asleep. They're dropping off as they're being fed. We smile at that. But it's not a smiling matter when it's a child of God dropping off, falling asleep, listening in church. I must say, friends, it's not a big problem in our congregation. Although at the same time, we're not a completely sleep-free zone. To be a truly listening church, we must be ready to listen. We must be ready to listen. Some people find it helpful to have paper and pen taking notes. Others find maybe that to be a distraction. They prefer to devote all their energies to the listening. No problem. Even things like making sure we've allowed enough time to get to church, to get a parking space, so we're not coming in all flustered and in a rush. Perhaps making the effort in the evenings to get to the prayer meeting. That's a really good way to prepare you for listening to the voice of the Lord. Be ready to listen. Be here as much as possible. Be ready to listen. A third, help to listen. Be a Berean. Be a Berean. B-E-R-E-A-N. In Acts 17, verse 11, we read about the Bereans. Paul and Silas, they're preaching in Berea, and we're told about the people there. Acts 17, verse 11. "They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." Examining the scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas were preaching, to see if it was actually right, to see if it was on the money. You see, the church isn't about brainwashing. Not in the slightest. For us to be a listening church, to be listening effectively, we're to check that what the preacher is saying, it's actually coming from the Bible, that he's actually true to God's word. We need to be discerning listeners. We need to be Bereans. And I would encourage you, friends, to be Bereans. Don't just accept preaching as truth. Bring your Bibles with you. Open your Bibles. Follow it along as the passage is being read. Whenever I'm preaching expository or expositionally, going through verse by verse, it's a helpful thing to have your Bible open in front to go through that together. And if you know your Bibles well enough, if it's not going to be too much of a distraction for you, whenever verses are being quoted or passages, you could turn them up just to make sure, or jot them down to look them up later. Be a Berean. Don't just accept these things. All these things helpful for us in being a listening church. Being here as much as possible. These opportunities. Come ready to listen, to get as much out of it as possible, and be a Berean. So why should we listen, and how should we listen? But let me finish this morning with giving a warning to us. So let me say, thirdly, don't be only a listening church. Don't be only a listening church. And this is a warning that we perhaps need more than most churches. It's a danger we need to be careful to avoid. It's a warning that James speaks of in James 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. In other words, friends, we should not be satisfied with being a listening church. We should not be happy with ourselves if we're just good listeners. The listening, it's not an end in itself. The purpose of being a listening church is so that we'll be a changing church, increasingly being changed. And so we're warned here of the great danger of only listening. You can think of Herod from Mark chapter 6. Herod enjoyed listening to preaching. He enjoyed listening to John the Baptist preaching. Even though John the Baptist condemned Herod's wrongful marriage, Herod still enjoyed the sermons. He was able to filter out, to screen out all the convicting bits, just enjoy the style, the manner of the preaching. Herod ended up beheading John the Baptist. Our listening should always be accompanied by believing and doing. Believing and doing. And that's the way forward for us as a church. We are to be a listening church, yes, but a listening church should really be putting the listening into practice. So as we've thought about being a Christ-focusing church, we are to be then a Christ-focusing church. As we've thought about being a praying church, we're not just to simply listen to that and say, well, that sounds fair and good, and then not do anything about it. We are to go on and be a praying church. It's what we see in Nehemiah 8. We read that chapter earlier. A wonderful example of a listening church. We're told in Nehemiah 8, as they were listening to the law being read, the people, somehow, they listen, they hear a command that they'd completely forgotten about, a command of the law of Moses to live in booths or a temporary shelter during one of their feasts. Now, they hadn't been doing that. They'd completely forgotten. But upon hearing the word, we see they immediately go out and they make changes. They rectify their wrong behavior. They put it right. And verse 17, there was very great rejoicing. It's a reminder to us there isn't a single part of the Bible that's simply there to just inform us or merely interest our curiosity. It always calls us to do something. There's always a response called from the preaching of God's word. And the devil is delighted when we just listen. He's quite happy when a listening church just listens. And every time we listen to a sermon, the devil will come along like a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. He'll come along. That's pretty good stuff. I agree with all he's saying there. Why not do something about it tomorrow? Why not do something about it next week? And instinctively, we agree with him. And the response never comes tomorrow. Next week, the response never comes. We might think we're a listening church, friends. But for listening to do any good, it has to change us. It has to change us. We have to be willing for it to change us today. Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And let me say, if you've been here on many occasions and you've listened, to the offer of the gospel time and time and time again, but you've never responded to it, that's actually worse than not hearing it at all. It's actually worse than not hearing it at all. And if you've never responded, you are more guilty today than ever before. You should also know that God loves to change people through preaching. He loves to change people. Nothing would bring heaven more joy. I say that quite literally. Nothing would bring heaven more joy than if you confessed your sin today and turned to the Savior. And once that change has taken place, he continues to delight in changing us as we listen. The RP Church should be a listening church. It should be a hungry church. This church should be a morning and evening church, a changing church. And so let's recommit ourselves as a church this morning to the priority of preaching and the urgency of listening. Amen.